And when ye stand praying, if you have aught against somebody, what does that mean? If there's some place in you and you've got a grudge against somebody, if you've got unforgiveness with somebody, see, that unforgiveness and that grudge, it'll eat you from the very inside out, and it'll affect you, and it'll flow into every part of your life. I'm going to ask you today that as you stood to your feet, first of all, I believe that God stood with you. I believe that He's right by your side. But I'm going to ask you this morning, is there somebody that you need to forgive? Is there somebody that you need to just say, you know what, God, I didn't understand it. I don't know why they were that way. But Lord, right now, I want to forgive them. God, I ask that you'd give me the courage and the integrity to just forgive. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you right now, God, that all over the place, Lord, I ask that you would stir up hearts right now in Jesus' name. God, we know that the biggest bondage is that unforgiveness. Lord, I ask that you would stir people to forgiveness this morning in Jesus' name. God, if there's things that they festered for years, things that have upset us for years, and when we have bad days, we want to go right back to that situation. God, right now, I ask that you would set people free. Lord, all over the place, God, you want us to be able to go on in our life and to be happy and to serve you. God, I ask that you'd lift some weight off of us right now. I speak to unforgiveness. I speak to offense. I speak to grudge right now. And I tell you to go in the name of Jesus. I bind you up. And right now, I lose forgiveness all over this place. I lose understanding all over the place this morning. God, I ask that you'd make us mercy showers. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I always love being with the family. You know, something very important for believers, God did not intend for you to just get saved and then that's all that you ever did. God intended for you to have things in your life for you to do, and that's why He put you on the earth and made you full of purpose, and you have a purpose and God has a plan. And so I believe that this message is for you. Go with me to Genesis chapter 28. We're going to look at verse 16. And there are some skills that we have to develop. And yes, I said develop, and that means that they don't come overnight. There's skills as a believer, and those skills do not come overnight. We have to develop them. Another word for that is we have to work out our own salvation. You can't work out Sally Sue's salvation. You can't keep her straightened out, because the truth is you can't even keep yourself straightened out. Amen? I'm going to keep it honest in this church. I'm going to preach where we live. But one of the skills that we must develop is the ability to see God in small situations. Be able to see God all throughout our day. Sometimes we are, where is Jesus at? I put him out here. Oh my gosh. People always need a visual. Nobody sat by him either. What the heck? Well, at least you apologize to him. I get, Jesus, we're going to put your dress down. But, you know, a lot of times we are looking for Jesus and we're looking for a big sign. We're looking for something to just pop out, and it was so big, it was so majestic, it was such a big deal. And you know, there's times like that in our life where that happens. But you know, a lot of times the most sweetest things that Jesus is He's there in that everyday life, in those moments that get really hard, in those moments that we feel like we can't go on. And so I want to minister to you today on the importance of developing the skill to see God, to see your Maker, to see your Savior. On Easter Sunday, we had a beautiful Easter. How many of you were here and you enjoyed Easter service? Amen. It was wonderful. And we did a lot of stuff, and I'm telling you, at about 7:45, we rolled up in our driveway, and we had a flat tire. And, you know, sometimes Christians do one of two things. they either say, that darn devil, he gave me a flat tire and he did this and he did that. You know, I've realized that in today's society, if we are not careful, we're going to give the devil way too much credit for things he had nothing to do with them. And be careful what you blame on the devil, because a lot of times the devil had nothing to do with it, okay? We get into things and things happen and all of that. And I really thought, poor Frank. He's going to have to fix this flyer, this tire at 8 o'clock at night. And I walked in the house, and I thought, Lord, you've given us a beautiful day, but now we've got a flat tire. And why would you allow this to happen to your pastor? I am tired, Lord, you know. And he changed my heart, and he said, you know, get Carson. Because I want to give Carson a memory that he's not going to forget. And tell him to go and help Frank with the tire. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I am not that pastor that is going to sugarcoat things, and I'm going to tell it like it is, okay? Now, that's really how God is. All the other stuff isn't God. I mean, we fluff so much stuff up in the religious world, and that's really not godly. God doesn't need all that fluffing. He doesn't. He just needs people to just say the truth. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're in a blended family, and in some way or another, everybody's got a blend in your family, even if you didn't have a divorce, I'm just telling you, you got daughter-in-laws that drive you crazy, you got son-in-laws, you wish your baby girl would have made a smarter decision. I mean, there's lots of blending that go on in the world today. Why are we laughing over here? Do we have that problem? I'm kidding. But, you know, if you have the blending going on in your family, that's difficult. That's difficult to do. And sometimes it just makes you feel like it just can't be done because you got all the personalities. But I heard God say, you know, Kelly, I want Frank and Carson to go out there, and I want them to do that together. And they did that together. And the tire at that point was not a nuisance but a blessing. And I began to thank God for that opportunity that he gave. Can you see God in scenarios and situations that on maybe first glance you wouldn't be happy about them? But you know what? A lot of times if you can just put your feelings to the side, because your feelings aren't facts, okay? You can feel a lot of things and then in 5 seconds you feel something completely different, because your feelings are wishy-washy. But you can't trust your feelings, I can tell you that. Can you see the Lord in your situations that you've got going on in your life? Can you see him? Can you see him? So many times people are going, God, where are you at? You ever wonder where God was? Maybe you went through something. Maybe you heard the worst news and you're sitting there and you're saying, God, where are you? God, why did you allow this? Lord, I thought you said you would never leave me, and I feel alone. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16, it's very important to be able, and it is not a skill that you're just going to have right off the bat. You've got to develop it. And the way that you do that is we do so many things thoughtlessly and unintentionally. And if you ever really want to tap into an amazing relationship with the Lord, and if you ever really want to get to where you enjoy your life, see, a lot of people think they can't enjoy their life because everything isn't going perfect in their life. It never will. It never will. But what you have to be able to do is look at life and be intentional about it. I encourage you. At the beginning of the day, I've started this, and I've done it for about a week and a half. How many of you just love getting up in the morning? I like the fact that God still gives me breath. I'm glad I'm living. But I can't say I'm a morning person. I'm a mid-morning person. I wake up at about 10 o'clock. I mean, I wake up really at like 5:30, but I actually, my personality wakes up at about 10. And then I'm able to function and be me. But when my alarm goes off, a week and a half or so ago, it went off and I said, oh, God. Now, imagine giving somebody breath and loving them, filling them full of purpose, saving them, giving them favor, providing for them, and their first words to you is, oh, my God. And God really began to convict my heart about that. And I felt bad. And I said, well, God, what would you like me to say? He said, Kelly, when you wake up and you hit that alarm clock to go off, I just want you to say, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Because if you're going to start your day off negative, your day is probably going to stay somewhat negative. I'm very big on you're going to get what you speak over yourself. Amen. Amen? So in Genesis chapter 28, verse 16, Jacob had a dream. And it says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely, for sure, without a doubt, the Lord is in this place, and I was not even aware of it. I'm going to read that to you one more time. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. To spot God in your life and to spot where He's been all through your day, the one thing that you have to put to the side is your feelings. Because some things throughout your day may have made you mad. They may have made you sad. They may have made you a lot of things you can't say out loud. But you have to put that to the side. Because Jacob said, you know what? Surely he was in this place and I didn't even know it. God is with you every moment. In the good, in the bad, in the gut-wrenching, in the betrayal, in the depression, in the anxiety, in the cancer, in the everything. He's with you. And you have to know in your heart of hearts, just because I don't feel Him, just because I don't, the stars haven't all aligned, all the signs that I asked Him for, just because they're not there, surely He's in this place. I'm just unaware of it. It's easy to be unaware of God's presence. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. Sometimes God doesn't feel obvious. He doesn't feel obvious. About 2 years ago, my sweet mother, Mom, raise your hand. This little lady that looks like an angel wearing white. Sister Millie is the sweetest lady on the planet. The worst thing she has ever said to me was one day when I was about 6 or 7, I was pestering her, and we were having city water put in instead of well water, I think. And the whole family was having to go to the bathroom in 5-gallon buckets until they got done with that job. And the bucket was in the laundry room. And I was pestering her. And she looked at me and she said, Kelly, will you please just shut up? She had never said something like that since. And never have. since then, never before. And I sat in the laundry room and cried for like 2 hours. And my big sister Casey came in and she said, "What's the problem?" And I said, "Mom told me to shut up." And Casey goes, "Really? Mom said that?" Yes, she sure did. But my sweet mother, about 2 years ago, something happened in her body. And many of you saw it. But it crippled her to a point where she was on a walker. It crippled her to a point where for several weeks she couldn't even get out of the house. She was housebound. And just we didn't know if she was ever going to be all right. And I know people a lot holier than me, you can never say that you've been mad at God or that you've blamed God. I get that. If you are that holy, congratulations. I can't say that I've really been mad at God too often. I can't say that I've blamed God too often. But what I will say is in that season of life, when I sat there and saw my mom in so much pain, and just one day I seen her at the, I was driving by the Dollar Tree, and I was driving by and I thought, oh my gosh, that little old lady is hunched over so bad, she's going to fall. I need to stop and help that old lady. And it was my mother, and I didn't even recognize her. And I remember sitting on the back of our porch and just telling God how mad I was at him. So you don't need a pastor up here that won't just tell you the truth. Have I had my moments where I've questioned God? Absolutely. I'll keep that real with you. And I'll also keep this real. He put her back on her feet. When the doctors say, "We don't even know how you're doing so good." For somebody that doesn't take pain pills and all of the things, and she's up and she's on her feet. What I can tell you is that God proved himself. God proved himself. You know, I was sitting there and I was asking God, "God, where are you at? Where are you at?" My mom and dad, they came down to Arkansas on faith. They didn't know what was going on. We've built a ministry and you're going to allow her to go through that? And God, the whole time, God wasn't offended at me because I was mad at him. He was gracious and he was loving to me. And he is that way. So anybody that will teach you that God's upset because when you have a little problem about how to perceive what's going on in your life, see, God ain't upset with you. God is there to help you to understand things about your life. And the only way he can do that is if you can keep some things real with yourself. If you're in here today and you're having trouble and you're mad at God, you need to be talking to God about that. Because God wants to wash over whatever the problem is, and he wants to show you that, hey, it wasn't him, but he's fixing it. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. My first point was sometimes God doesn't feel obvious. He doesn't feel obvious. Sometimes you're going to be scratching your head going, "God, what's the deal? Why did you let me go through this? Why is this happening?" You need to find parts of your day where you can be alone for just a moment and sit and think about your day. And you need to pinpoint some times throughout that day where you know that God was there in that moment. We have to get to where we can see God in our everyday. Because we glorify trouble and tribulation and problems way too much. And when we do that, we lose the ability to see him and what he has done in that day. So Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, it says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. In that verse right there, that anchors my point that His presence is always there, but it is not based on your perception. God's presence is always there, but it is not based off of, and it is not going off of, how you perceive the situation. Because there's days where if somebody said, "Do you see God moving at all?" you'd say no. And I promise you that He's working and that He's moving in your life. He's always working and He's always moving. And sometimes we can't perceive that He's even there. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. This set of verses is known as the Great Commission. And I'm just going to read the last verse. This is where He's telling His disciples, you know, go and make disciples of everyone. Go to every nation, baptize them. And He's telling them everything that He wants them to do. And at the very last part, in verse 20, He says, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely," this is a for sure thing, this is exact, "and surely I am with you always." I am with you always. To the very end of the age, I'm with you. I'm with you. Does God always feel obvious? No, you should not go off of how you feel. You have got to go off of what God has said. What did He say? "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always with you. I'll be there to the end of it." A lot of people done left God because of their feelings. That deserved more than one amen. We're going to go there. A lot of people done left God because of their feelings. Amen. Amen? You can't afford to go off of how you feel, not when it involves your salvation. Because you're going to feel a lot of things. The heart is deceitful. Every time somebody says, "I'm going to just listen to my heart," I just cringe. I'm like, please don't listen to that thing. It's lying to you. That's biblical. The Word of God tells us the heart is deceitful. Above all, who can know it? Who can know that heart? My heart has changed sometimes on a dime. Let's go to Psalms chapter 25. We're going to look at verses 4 and 5. I believe that one of the reasons believers don't have certain things is because they have not asked. The Word of God says you have not because you ask not. Now, don't go asking God for $1 million and expect Him to have that in the bank account tomorrow, okay? And if He does, I'm going to be right where you were standing when you prayed that prayer because I'm going to get there. Okay? But we have not because we ask not. God always wants you growing in your faith. How many of you would say, there's a part of me that's kind of hot-tempered? How many hotheads do we got up in the place today? Kylie, you're like, great to be honest, honey, it is, isn't it? I thought you probably were because your hair's kind of red. And most redheaded folks are like, firecrackers. Your mama's going, That's called personality traits. Even a child is known by his ways. Amen. Even a child is known by their ways. And if you really get to that place where you're maturing in your life and in your salvation, you can't help but skip over verses like are found in Psalms 25, verse 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. How do we develop being able to see God? First, you're going to have to ask Him, God, show me how you would handle this. Show me your ways, because my ways ain't working. My ways ain't working. Pastor Kelly, 7 years ago, is a whole new girl, and I'll tell you why, because anything that I did on my own, it flopped. It did. Now, y'all have heard this story a lot, and I'm not going to go over the whole thing. 7 years ago, within about 2 weeks of being the pastor, God said, Kelly, those bathrooms in the church, they look awful. Would you want to pee in there? You need to do some remodeling. Nobody wants to go to an ugly church and sit on an ugly bathroom. Man, the women need to feel blessed when they come up out of there. I mean, hello? I believe God will bless us wherever we're at. And they just weren't up to par. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you have ever been to a really terrible, gross-looking gas station bathroom? And you're like, this isn't happening. I'm going to risk getting a UTI or something, but we're not peeing here. Nope, not happening. Well, our bathrooms weren't that bad, but they were very outdated. And when I walked in there, I was like, I know God can do better than this. This is God's house. I mean, you know. And because I didn't want to, you know, there's nothing like getting into a new position and then everybody feel like you're just changing everything and, you know. So I knew God was telling me to change the bathrooms. And I put it in the we'll do later pile. But what he really wanted was he wanted them done immediately. And I didn't do it. Well, about 2 weeks later, he done told me to do that, and I didn't do it. The whole back of there started flooding. And guess what? I had about 6 weeks of agony along with the beginning of the COVID. And God said, you could have avoided this heartache and this stress had you have just listened. And he brought me back to that day that I went in the bathroom. And he said, remodel the bathrooms. And I saw him in that day. And because I saw him in that day, I should have just done what he said. I'm asking y'all to look in your life and look in your days and see God. If he told you to do something in a day, you don't need to veer off and say, I'll do it later. You need to do it. Because it won't have the same effect when it's out of its time. Because here's what happened after that, Jennifer. We remodeled the bathrooms, and guess what? We had to go outside and have outside church for 2 or 3 months. And nobody got to enjoy them bathrooms. Now, God has a sense of humor, and God will work with you. And he will get you to where when you hear his voice, you will do what he wants you to do. And you ain't going to have to say, God, give me a sign to do what you told me to do. Him talking to you was your sign. Amen. So, show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Verse 5 is very important. Guide me in your truth. Guide me in your truth. Young people, I want you to listen to me for a moment. Guide me in your truth and teach me. Culture would tell you to stay true to your truth. How many of you is 22 years old or younger? Raise your hand. Beatrix, how old are you? Well, holy cow. You look like a teenager. Raise your hand. It'll make me feel better. All right. I'm going to re-say what I just said. Our culture, which is very screwed up, will tell you to stay with your truth. How many of you ever heard that expression? I'm going to stick with my truth. I'm going to tell you something. That's a bad way to live your life. Because, see, it's not biblical. Because, see, the Word says, here was a prayer that David prayed. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. And God, guide me in your truth. Guide me in your truth. When culture says, oh, stay with your truth, it's okay as long as you feel good about it. No, I wouldn't do that if I were you. You know what that costs you? 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Your life passes you by when you've stuck with your truth. Stick with what God said. Stick with His truth. Ask God to give you that truth. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Put your hope in Him all throughout the day. Go with me to Psalms chapter 86, verse 11 through 12. And once again, teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me your way, O Lord. What is that really saying? God, teach me how you would do this. How many of you can agree you don't handle people right all the time? I don't either. I'm glad we're not God and we're not on Survivor. Because I'd be like, your flame is snuffed out. It's over. But God ain't like that. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Here is one of the best prayers you could ever pray over your life. Give me an undivided heart. God, give me an undivided heart. Why do we need that? Because, see, everything that's worth doing, we got to do it with our whole heart. Whatever God called you for, whatever He called you to, it's going to take your whole heart. And a lot of times, God's not getting that. He needs our whole heart. Put your whole heart into it. Your whole heart. I'm very passionate about feeding people. I never thought I would be living my life. I didn't think I was going to be doing this. I didn't think I would be feeding people. How many of you get to places in your life you never thought it'd be like that? Sometimes those places are good, and sometimes those places are bad. I'm going to tell you, when I went through my divorce, I never thought my life would be that. You talk about something that rips you apart and twists you, every part of you up and gets you to where you're thinking crazy things. Here's what I knew. God was going to show up no matter what. no matter what. Can you see him in the good things and the bad things? Can you see him? God, give me an undivided heart. There was a gentleman several months ago, and he really showed out on the parking lot. Now, I'm Italian and hot-headed as could be. That part of me just ain't gotten saved yet. I don't know. Because sometimes I struggle with that. And St. Frank's like, yes, she does. And he asked me if I was, and I hate even saying this word because I think it's so derogatory, but he asked me if I was retarded or just a stupid woman. And I said, you're leaving. You're leaving here. Go. Now, I'm going to tell you, it took about 2 or 3 months for God to work on me. Because there ain't no way I was putting up with that. I thought, I've come too far and I've just been too good to the community and I don't have to take that garbage. And God asked me one question. And it stopped me right in my tracks. Kelly, what would I do? Kelly, would I feed him? Yeah, you would. He said, well, I want you to have him back. Because I want you to ask yourself, Kelly, how many times have I had you back? Funny how we want to do things to other people, but then we forget about all the times God done helped us, saved us, was good to us, forgave us, and we ain't got none of that to spill over to other people. I told his little friend, I said, tell your buddy to come back. And I'm going to tell you what, we have a very good little rapport now. He'll say, hi, Pastor Kelly. And I'll say, how are you doing? We'll talk about everything. But that, Moni, that wasn't my first intention with him. Because I was wrong. God had to change some things. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all of my heart. What does God want for you? What does he want in your life? How do you begin to see him in your everyday? Well, you let him have your whole heart. Well, my heart's messed up. Well, some of it ain't right. Just give it to him. How many of you, there's some things wrong with you and you know it? Here's what I can tell you. God wants those things too. Now, if I said, who can spot Jesus? Almost all of us would be like, he's right here. But he is in so many places, isn't he, Leslie? Okay. Now, I want y'all to look around the sanctuary. Because we have several little Jesuses all around. And sometimes, we are looking for him to just plop right down and just sit right by us and just be right there. And he is, but I'm telling you that he's there in the littlest details of your life. And those little details are what makes everything so rich and so great in our life, is when we realize that the Creator took time to work on the little details that mean so much to us. See, there's little Jesus on the speaker. He's on the piano. He's over the door. He's on the pictures. He's on a lot of pictures. Do you see him? He's in my pulpit. He's on the speaker. He's all over here. What am I asking you to do today? To develop a new skill. Because some of us, we're getting too negative. we're saying, well, God, you weren't here and you weren't there and you didn't do this and you da-da-da-da. You don't know what God's doing, okay? And the truth is he's done been all up in your business. He's got things going on that you don't even know. There were several events this week that led me to this message. How many of you love tax season? Rocky loves it. Good for you, Rocky. You're the only one in the congregation. She didn't have to file. Too old. Well, all the smart alecks, keep your comments to yourself. You look great, Rocky. So we were getting our taxes. We got our taxes done like in February. And I don't like to owe the government money. And I don't like the government really, I don't want them all up in my business. If I owe them something, I want to pay them their money. And if they owe me something, I want to get my money back. That, whatever, you know. And so we were getting a very small little refund. And it really wasn't about the amount, but we just hadn't gotten it yet. And I was thinking, well, where on earth is this? Something is wrong. So I called the tax lady. Sure enough, something's wrong. She had to resend it. Well, about 3 or 4 weeks later, still nothing. Called her back on Friday. Well, it's still not there, and they say I can't resend it. And I said, well, what am I going to do? She goes, well, I don't know. Now, I am not a CPA, okay? And I don't even do very good math. And so I was kind of put off by that, and I said, well, you got to tell me something. I mean, you're going to have to give me some direction. She said, well, call this number. I called this number, and the happiest little person was on the other line. I said, you sound delightful. I wish I was as in a good a mood as you are. And I began to tell her my problem. And she said, I'm going to go out of my way to help you. She said, who is your tax person? I told her. She goes, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to call them, and we're going to get this straightened out. Look here, the state ain't never helped me do nothing like that. She put me on hold. She called my tax person. I texted my tax person. The state's about to call you. FYI. She gets back on the phone. And she said, Kelly, we've got that problem fixed. And I said, and this is where we go wrong. I said, well, how did you fix it? Church, that's where we go wrong a lot. God does something. He does something big. We've been grappling because we can't see God. And then he does something. You're going, well, God, how did you do that? Does it really matter? Does it matter how God works it out as long as he works it out like he always does? And she said, well, I really can't tell you how, but just know that it's fixed. And she said, you're going to receive an email from me today, and it's going to tell you, it's going to confirm that this problem is fixed. And I got off the phone, and I was like, and my tax person texted me back, that was God helping you, Pastor Kelly. Because the state don't do that. How many of you know just because the state don't do that doesn't mean God don't do it? Amen. Another thing. I've learned to wait on God for him to tell me when it's time to do things. Because of the bathroom situation. I've learned that his timing is never late. And if you'll do things when he tells you to, you're going to be blessed and things will work out. And there's been a little piddly thing wrong with the church van. And I had taken the church van to several different people to try to figure out who God wanted to work on it. And Sherry, what day was that? Monday. Monday was just a normal Monday, but God woke me up and he wanted me to get things situated about seven different things. The roof, the gutters, the van, the ice machine. There's a few other things. And I've just learned to tell God, you tell me when it's time because I'm going to listen to you and we're going to get this straightened out. So I told my husband, I said, we've got a van appointment for this thing that's been wrong with the van for a long time. He was surprised because it's been something's wrong for a long time. And they pull that van in there. And what it was is it was a tire sensor that tells you when the tires are getting low. It wasn't working. And they, Frank goes, Kelly, when I took that in there, they changed the oil on that van. And as they were rotating the tires and they checked the tire pressure, one of those tires were really low and we just didn't know it and it was going flat. We didn't even know we had that problem. But God knew that. Here Sunday on Easter, we knew we had a flat tire. Here just a couple days after that, didn't know we had a flat, but get it right in there the day God tells us to get it in there saves us from being stuck on the side of the road with us having lots of food in the van. Can you see God in those little parts of your life? Can you see Him? Can you see Him? Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all of my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. It says here, and I will walk in your truth. In order to really be able to see God and to spot Him in your everyday living, you have to be okay with Him redefining what truth really is. What truth really is in your life. Because the truth of the matter is there's days where you're going to feel Him doing something and there's days where you won't feel nothing. Doesn't mean He's not doing something. Go with me, last place tonight, John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus said to them, My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working. I too am working. In those days where you're in the valley, in the heat of the moment, on the hard days, in the days that broke your heart, in the days where you can't get off the couch because the depression has got a hold of you, in those days, my Father is always working, and I too am working. God is working. You may not feel it. You may not can see it, but I really believe that God sent me here today to tell you, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. If He had to move heaven and earth to fix your problem, that's exactly what He'd do. He's not out of miracles. He's not out of making a way. He's not out of favor. He's not out of healing. He's not out of any of it. God's working on it. He hasn't left. Now here's the question that I have for you. Is there anybody in here? And those of you that know me well and that you're here all the time, you know I don't do this all the time. But is there anybody, and you can say, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand up. I need to be saved. If there's somebody in here and you say, I've been away from the Lord, I've just been away from Him, and I don't want to be, but I have been. I'm going to ask you to stand. I started this message. Before I even got up here, I knew that God was going to work on people's hearts. And everything that was said at the front of this message was true. God's not mad at y'all. God's not judging y'all. God is just standing there at that heart's door, and He's just knocking, and He's saying, can I come in there? Can I help you? Can I turn some things around for you? Can I be the center of your life? Can you forgive the things that's hurt you? Can you let somebody in there that can help you with that? I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. I'm going to ask you to come up here. You're standing, and if at any point in time, you know what, it's hard for people to come up.